All right, everyone. Live show done for the day. It is Monday, October 22nd. Post show is done for the day. But as you know, the UFC is making its debut in beautiful Moncton, New Brunswick this weekend. And one of the biggest fights on the card involves Michael Johnson, who's taking the fight on very short notice against Artem Lobov. Artem Lobov has been in the news over the past few months. Artem Lobov hasn't done any media over the past few months. That all changes now. We are catching up with Artem Lobov at the Toronto Pearson Airport on his way from Dublin to Moncton. He's kind enough to be joining us. Couldn't fit him into the live show, but we're doing this in the post show for all of you because we have been dying to talk to him. Lord knows I've been bothering him for months and months and months. Finally, he squeezes us in. Finally, he obliges. Here he is, the one and only, the GOAT himself, Artem Lobov. Artem, how are you?
Go there. Thank you so much for having me on the show. You know yourself, I really wanted to be on the show, but, you know, the situation wasn't that straightforward or simple. So, you know, I had to figure a few things out, but finally I'm here and I'm delighted to be here.
Yes, it is a true pleasure to talk to you, Artem. Thank you so much for the time. I know everyone's been hitting you up. You haven't talked in a while, right? Like it has been since well before April that you've talked to anyone, correct?
Yeah, it's true. And to be honest, there was no need for me to talk. You know what I mean? Why do media if I'm in the news anyway? Do you know what I mean? I just didn't see the point. It would be a case of just me giving something to whatever the journalist, but not really getting anything back from it. So I didn't feel the need to do that. You know, why do work that's unnecessary?
Okay, fair enough. Well, now that you're approaching your fight and so much has happened, it is great to catch up with you. And I want to start at the beginning, if we can. I feel like all of this started involving you and, of course, Khabib and Conor as well. That week in Brooklyn, that Tuesday in Brooklyn when you guys crossed paths, but it probably even started before that, where it seemed like Khabib took issue with something that you said about him. In your mind, when did all this start?
Okay, so I guess I have to, you know, start from the start.
Okay.
You know, things were good between all of us, you know, between Conor, myself, and Khabib. You know, we saw Khabib often at, you know, shows or you know, different Reebok launches or whatnot. You know, we were always very respectful to each other. You know, I always made sure to come up, you know, shake his hand, say hello, ask how he is. And, you know, we both done the same. It was all good. Until that all changed when, for some reason, and I don't know why, but Khabib started calling Conor a chicken. Now, I'm not sure why he wanted to do that or why he started to do that, because everything was just fine before that, and Conor had never said anything bad towards Khabib. And for some reason, Khabib decided, you know, to start calling him chicken. And now it might not sound very serious to you guys, but just so you know, chicken is one of the most severe insults you can give a man in Russia. In fact, you call someone a chicken in Russia, that is a person that, you know, gets raped in prison, you know, in male prison. That's what a chicken is in Russia. And Khabib knows that, and everybody knows that. So it is a very, very, very severe insult. So I'm hearing all this, and I see this, and Khabib keeps going on with this chicken here, chicken there. At every interview, he's calling Conor chicken, chicken this, chicken that. And again, Conor is still respectful, not saying anything. We don't really know where this is all coming from. Khabib was very respectful beforehand. And now, I guess, the more, you know, he says chicken, he sees all the media, you know, picking it up. He sees all the attention. And I guess he enjoys that. He wants the PR, and he keeps going with it. Now, this goes on for about a year. And then, in an interview, I get asked about this. Journalists, a Russian journalist asked me, what can you say about Khabib calling Conor chicken? Now, of course, you know, me knowing the severity of this insult, I had to respond, you know, in a hard way. And I think anybody would have done the same. If I didn't do that, then what kind of friend am I? Do you know what I mean? So, of course, you know, my response was very harsh, but I spoke facts. You know, I talked about Khabib himself pulling out from all the fights all the time, and the fact that Conor has never pulled out, and I was like, how can he call him a chicken when he's the one pulling out all the time, but Conor, you know, never pulled out. Look, it was a harsh response, but, you know, given the situation, I thought it was an appropriate response, and I didn't see how I could not respond in that way. And to be honest, if I was asked 100 times with the same interview, the same question, my response would have been the same, even though knowing what has happened since then. Now, after that, this interview that happened, that was about 2 years ago. Since that interview, I had seen Khabib many times in Russia. in Moscow. You know, we were at the same event with Fight Night. You know, I've seen him. You know, he's never said anything to me, never came up to me, never done anything until this time in New York. I had my fight, and I saw him in the corridor, and I was doing an interview with one of the UFC staff. He was standing beside me, and I had the UFC phone in my hand, and I was supposed to do, and I was doing an interview on the phone. Khabib saw me. He was alone first. He approached me alone first, and we had, you know, a very harsh exchange of words, but there was no contact at all between us. He was alone, and I was alone. And then she walked away from me, and literally moments later, he ran up to me with all this big gang of guys, and suddenly he got brave, and he started to get physical and all this. Now, I was a little bit kind of taken back and a little bit shook. I'm not going to lie. You know, a million things were going through my head. You know, he was the main event at the time. We're at a UFC office. We're not, you know, in the hotel. We're not, like, on the street or anything like that. So I'm kind of, you know, taken back by all this. And he, throughout this whole thing, even when he first approached me alone, and again when he approached me with the guys, he kept asking me the same thing. Why did you say that? And I kept repeating the same thing. I said, look, you've called my brother a chicken. How could I not respond to you? If somebody called your brother a chicken, you probably would have responded the same way. And he just kept saying, none of your business. That's none of you. Why did you call me that? Why did you say that? Why? Over and over and over again. And I said to him, I said, look, I didn't say that to you directly. I said that in response to you calling him a chicken. And that was it. So that's how that all happened.
When he approached you, and we're seeing some of that video right now in the hotel in Brooklyn, how physical did it get?
No, I mean, it wasn't like crazy physical or anything, but, you know, it was obviously insulting. You know, he grabbed the back of my head, you know, and he was, like I said, he kept asking me the same thing, and I kept telling him the same thing over and over the same. I answered it to you because you called Conor a chicken, and I had to respond to you, and that was it.
And for those of us that obviously don't speak Russian and didn't see the interview, could you tell us exactly what you said that bothered him so much? Like, do you know, was it a word or two that you said about him in that interview in response that really got under his skin?
Yeah, it was the whole thing. I just kept saying, look, he's the one pulling out the whole time. He's pulled out whatever 5 or 6 times, you know, and Conor's never pulled out. How can he call somebody chicken? You know, Conor has fought with all kinds of injuries. We all know that he fought with no ACL, and Khabib pulled out with lesser injuries. You know, he pulled out with, I believe, a meniscus tear. You know, like, look, it was a harsh response. I'm not taking that back at all. But given the severity of the insult that he was given, like, I will repeat again what chicken means. You know, I told you already, yeah, about the people getting it. That's when somebody's in male prison that gets raped, you know, they call them chicken. That's or rooster or whatever, you know, that's what they call them. So it was a very, very severe insult. It's one of the most severe insults you can give a man in Russia, probably. So, you know, of course, my response was very harsh as well. But once again, I'll repeat, he said he did absolutely nothing about that. For that interview was 2 years ago, and we had seen each other many times one-on-one in Moscow at Fight Night's events or whatnot. He never came up to me, never said anything, never done anything. And again, in New York, he first approached me alone, and he didn't touch me. Yes, we had, you know, harsh exchange of words, but there was no physicality. Then he walks away, and moments later, he runs up with 15 guys, and now suddenly he's brave.
To the best of your knowledge, it was around 15 guys. How many people were you with?
It was just me, and then I had a friend with me who was from Chechnya Islam. He was also there. You know, he, when they first kind of ran up, he was there, but then he ran towards me straight away, and he was there as well, just trying to calm them down and kind of, you know, prevent the situation. Just, look, guys, we're all fighting, you know, we'll have fights. We have fight, I have fight. Let's just, you know, calm down and just, you know, everybody relax, and we can sort it afterwards if needs be, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay. So then this thing ends. You go in your separate direction. Somehow someone records it. It goes online. It spreads like wildfire. Everyone's going crazy over you and Khabib. You know, two Russian fighters, two proud Russians going, you know, sort of toe-to-toe here in this moment. What do you do next? Where do you go? Who are you talking to? How are you processing all of this?
To be honest with you, it was like an avalanche of all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, going on. I didn't really know exactly what to do. I was just kind of lost for words and actions, and I was like, what do I do here? And I had a million people messaging me and telling me do this or do that or all kinds of advice. To be honest with you, all of that, not a single person gave me proper advice, not a single person gave me proper support, nothing. There was only one message on my phone that was the good message, and that was from Conor. And all it said was, I'm on the way. I'm coming over. And I don't give a fuck what's what, who, why, when. I don't give a fuck. You're my brother, and I'm on the way over.
Wow.
And it was really nice to receive that message.
Wow. And how soon after this happened did you hear from Connor?
Straight away, immediately. Like, literally, as soon as this happened, I get the message from Connor, I'm on the way.
Okay, so you knew that he was getting on the plane and bringing some other people as well and coming to Brooklyn.
Well, I don't want to go into the details of, you know, whatever, what I knew or what right. I didn't know, but yeah, he was on the way over, and I knew that he was coming over too.
Okay, and
didn't know what they were coming over for just yet, right. Exactly, you know, but I just knew that he was coming over to support me because he knew I was there alone, and these guys were in, well, 15, 20, I don't know how many of them were there.
Okay, and so how soon after that do you actually see Connor? The next day, that night, how fast does he actually get there from Ireland?
I think the next day he got there.
Okay. Is that the day of the media day at the arena, or was that the following day?
No, the media day was the following day, I think. So this happened, he gets there the next day, and then the media day is the day after.
Okay, so then you guys, I'm sure you see him, you talk. When you come up with the idea of actually, because I had heard that the idea was to actually go to the actual media day, but I guess people were late, you got stuck in traffic, whatever the case is, and that's when the whole load...
The whole idea was to just even out the situation. We just wanted to now put the numbers even. Well, now it's, you know, 15 versus 15 or whatever it is. Let's talk now. And he wanted just to give me a chance to speak now with Khabib one-on-one and then see what happens when, you know, I also got support. Because like I said, when it was one-on-one, Khabib never did anything. Never. Only when he had 15 guys with him, then he was brave. So Conor just wanted to even out the numbers. He wanted to see what's going to happen now when it's 15 versus 15.
And when you talked to Conor about all this face to face, could you tell that he was really fired up? That this meant a lot to him. What had happened?
Oh, absolutely. He was. I'm telling you, he was not. He was as fired up as he could have been.
When you guys, so you guys devised the plan to go to the arena, to the media day. What was the actual plan that you had? What did you want to do there?
Yeah, the plan was just to face him and say, well, now what? Let's talk now. You wanted to do something, you know, because he was telling me, oh, well, what are you going to say now, this and that, you know, when you had 15 guys in front of me alone. So we wanted to do the same situation and show him, okay, now what? Let's see. Now let me show you what I will do now. Because, you know, that situation, it was, you know, it was always within the sport before then. But Khabib was the one that took it outside of the sport.
At any point did you worry, like, this might go wrong, this might affect my career, you know, I'm fighting in a couple of days?
At this stage, I didn't give a fuck to do anything anymore.
Okay.
At that stage, there was so much stuff just going on, and all this weird, all these messages and everything, this crazy stuff going on online, I couldn't really think straight anymore. I was just in the moment.
Did you feel like you were publicly humiliated, like the way he held your neck and confronted you? Did you feel like you were embarrassed?
Yeah, of course I was embarrassed, you know. For me, for a guy that has spent my whole career on purpose, never ever taking an easy fight, fighting everyone and everywhere on the shortest of notices for no money at all, basically. You know, I spent my whole life trying to prove that I was, you know, I was a real fighter. I was a guy that's not afraid to fight anyone. For me to end up in this situation, you know, of course it was embarrassing. Of course I didn't enjoy it, to say the least.
So you guys get to the arena, the Barclays Center. What happens then, from your recollection?
Yeah, what happens then, we realize that the media day is over, and then we're like, right, we're already there, so, you know, that's it. We're not going back now, you know, all the way forward. We're just, you know, angry and pissed off about what happened, so, you know, we have to get him and see what happens. Then we finally find them, we see the bus, they're on the bus, so we start screaming, get off the bus. Let's talk now. Let's see what happens now. You did this to Artem, so let's see how brave you are now. You know, you were all brave when you had 15 guys, so come off the bus now and let's see what you will do. But, of course, nobody was getting off the bus.
And as this is all happening and things are being thrown, at any point are you wondering, like, this is getting to be a little too far? There's fighters in the bus, other fighters who aren't involved. Like, were you concerned at all that this was escalating to a dangerous point?
We weren't interested in the other fights. We didn't want anyone there. We just wanted Khabib and his team, and that's it, because of what they did to me.
Right.
That's it.
Okay.
We just want to get them back for something that they've done.
What happens after you guys leave the arena?
We just went back to the hotel, and then I guess, you know, the whole story started, you know, unraveling. You know, police got involved, and Conor got taken away, obviously, and we're just sitting, kind of, and still don't know what's happening, because we wanted to kind of confront him and sit him, but we didn't really get a chance to do that because he wouldn't get off the bus. So it was kind of, again, like, I was in an even worse situation almost. I feel like, Jesus, Connor now is in prison. We still didn't get Khabib. We're here, kind of a little bit, to be honest, unsure of what to do next, what the next step is. Just wanted to see what's going to happen. We're just waiting to see how this unravels.
Did you feel guilt over the fact that your friend and also Keane Cali were sent to prison and you're on the outside? Did you feel? I know how loyal you feel towards Connor.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know what I mean? I spent my whole life trying to help Connor. You know, and he always did the same for me. And here I am sitting in a hotel room, and because of me, he's in prison. You know, so of course I felt horrible. You know, when it first happened, you know, with Khabib, I didn't think it could get any worse, but then it did get worse. You know, Connor was also in prison on top of everything. So, yeah, it was a horrible situation to be in, to be honest with you.
Did you agree with the UFC's decision to take you off the card?
No, because that's the thing. I was still thinking that I was going to fight because I kept cutting weight. I didn't drink anything. This was like the day before the weigh-ins. I was still too late. You know, UFC made no contact with me. I was kind of trying to find out what's going to happen. I guess they were trying to decide what's going to happen. I was still trying to cut weight. No water, no food, nothing. You know, my mind was like blurry, you know, because the stress of the situation. And on top of that, I have no water, no food, nothing in me. You know, I'm cutting weight. So, it was as stressful of a situation as it can possibly be.
At any point, did they threaten you with a release? Did they say that they were going to cut you?
To be honest, I didn't really know what was going to happen. They weren't really making much contact with me. I was just waiting for what they would say. You know, I was waiting for Connor's manager or audit to make contact with them and find out what the situation is. Also, John Kavanaugh was trying to message them as well, find out what the situation is. And then only in the evening of that day, I found out that I'm off the card and fight went happening, and that was that.
But even in the aftermath, even like the following week, was there ever a discussion about cutting you from the roster as a result of you being there?
I no one discussed anything with me, if I'm honest.
Okay.
I was just waiting for news, and that's it. So,
were you worried about your job?
Not really, to be honest. Not at that time, because I had so much things to worry about, Connor in prison and that whole situation happening, that obviously, you know, as important as this job is for me, and that particular moment, you know, it wasn't really on my mind.
Was that like the most stressful week of your life? Just the initial contact with Khabib, and then what happened in the arena, and then how would you describe it?
It's hard to say. I mean, probably I'd say it would be. Yeah, it's pretty close. I mean, I've been in some situations in my life, but that definitely comes close to being one of the most stressful ones for sure.
And then I can imagine every media outlet under the sun is trying to, you know, reach out to you, and everyone's hitting you up, and people want the scoop and everything like that. Even when you got back home several days later, it must have been a whirlwind.
That's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons I didn't do any interviews. You know, I considered a lot of the Irish media guys, my friends, you know, and these guys wouldn't even, you know, just check, just a message saying, hey, how's things acting? Is everything okay? No, none of that. All of them will message me, can we get 5 minutes with you? Can we do an interview? Can you comment on the situation? Not one of them checked, are you okay, Artem? Is everything okay? This is a pretty fucked up situation here. You know, this is pretty serious here. I mean, we were on fucking CNN news and everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And not a single one of them, you know, even just a message, hey, is everything okay? I hope you're okay. If you need anything, I'm here. Not one of them. Those are the people that are considered friends. So that's when I made the decision. I'm not doing any interviews with any of the media unless there's something in it for me. Either I get paid for it, or it's some big outlet like yourself, or it's my obligation as part of the UFC fight week or whatever. Other than that, no interviews from me no more. Sorry, guys.
Politically, what did this mean to you? Because, again, two Russians having this issue. I know Khabib, you know, is very powerful over there. I know you're very powerful. I know you've done some work over there. I mean, what kind of, for the stuff that we don't know or understand, back home, what did this all mean to you? And when I say home, I mean Russia, not Ireland.
Oh yeah, in Russia it was chaos. Like, you know, in Russia it was pretty heavy, and I was getting all kinds of I was seeing all kinds of, you know, messages, all kinds of this. And, you know, to be honest, a lot of people turned away, you know. There's, you know, at the time I didn't see it, but to be honest, now looking back, it was a good situation because I have found a lot of rats that I, you know, that I considered my friends, and they turned away. And, you know, now looking back, you know, I, you know, it's a good thing that it happened to me. But there was one guy that stayed always by my side, you know, and I'm really thankful to him. You know, it's Islam, you know, he was with me throughout this whole thing, and, you know, he is a true brother to me, and I'm happy to call him, you know, my Vinak brother. He's a great guy, you know, I'm really thankful for everything to him.
And so when this is all sort of playing out, and there's the aftermath and the dust is starting to settle, it becomes clear that the UFC is actually going to book this fight. Did this put you in an uncomfortable spot back home as well, or was it very clear, like, that's your guy, you're going to stick by him, you're going to help him? How did this, like, what kind of position did this put you in, the fact that they were now actually going to fight?
No, that's the only thing that was on my mind, because I was like, look, these guys, you know, they took it out of the, you know, sport, and they did a jerky thing, you know, with me, the way they attacked me. And you know, in the heat of the moment, you know, we kind of hit them back. But then when I kind of thought about it a little bit, I was like, no, I'm not going to be like this. We're going to get them back inside the octagon. I'm going to punish them for this, but I'm going to use the sport to do that. And so at that moment, I was like, right, Conor's going to fight Khabib, and I need to fight Zubaira Tukhugov. You know, at the time, I was already in negotiation with the other promotions and other even boxing promotions, and I had some very, very good offers on the table, some six-figure offers. And I was ready to leave the UFC. As part of, you know, Conor's deal, I was talking to Audie, you know, Conor's manager, and said, look, we can arrange this for you to leave the UFC as part of his deal, and you can take those deals. But then when I sat down, I was like, look, I have to fight Zubaira. That's the only fight that makes sense to me. I don't want to fight no one else. Doesn't matter how much people are going to pay me. I don't want to fight anyone else. It makes no sense for me to fight anyone else. I need that fight. So as a result, then I ended up staying with the UFC and taking the fight with Zubaira. But then, you know, he got pulled from the fight. And again, I was like, oh, my God. I stayed in the UFC, took a pay cut from compared to other offers just to fight him, and now I don't get to fight him. You know, that's not right. You know, I have to get him. I have to get him back.
Wow, okay. So there's a lot that happens there in the middle, but I didn't know that you were that close. So you were actually pretty close to leaving the UFC. Like, you had the out. You could have left if you wanted to.
I had offers on the table.
Wow, from who?
There was a few. There was a boxing promotion in Russia that offered me a contract. There was the bare knuckle boxing that offered me a very big contract, six figures plus pay-per-view points.
Wow.
And I didn't even start looking that much yet. I didn't even contact any other MMA organization. Didn't talk to Bellator yet. Didn't talk to ACB. Didn't talk to no one yet. I'm pretty sure that they would be willing to offer me some big money as well.
So when the fight gets booked, and then we start, when we have the talk starting to heat up, the press conference, you know, a lot has been said about the fact that it got very personal, that Conor talked about his father, that he talked about Dagestan and Chechnya and Vladimir Putin. At any point did you feel like, ooh, this is reaching a point that it might actually get even worse? This is getting a little bit too personal. Did you think while this was unfolding that it was getting towards that territory?
You know, there was some heavy traffic, you know, obviously during that whole press conference and everything. But you know, one thing I noticed, you know, with Khabib and his teammates, you know, that they're very quick to point at someone else's, you know, fault, and they say, oh, that's against the religion and that and this and that. But they're not the ones, you know, themselves, you know, ever obeying the religion and following the rules. It seems to be one rule for them, but a different rule for other people. You know, when I was in school in Ireland, I have a very, very good friend from Sudan. His name was Khalid, and he was a very, very devoted Muslim, and his whole family. And I was good friends with him, and he would always, you know, talk to me about Islam. He would always, you know, teach me about Islam. He had even taught me some prayers in Arabic. You know, I even know them to this day. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahu la ilaha illa hu, al-ayyum. Now, unfortunately, I cannot remember the rest of this prayer, but what I do remember is that he was never pointing finger at anyone. He was always just lived a devoted Muslim life, and he always led by example.
So it gets to that point where it's starting to heat up. The fight week occurs, and I was asked about this a lot. You weren't there. I saw you Friday, the day of the weigh-ins, but you weren't there for the typical, you know, long stay in Las Vegas and whatnot. Any particular reason for that?
Well, what happened was because we were, you know, putting a plan together when we were going to go over to Vegas for the camp. And obviously, I'm in the middle of my own camp. My fight is 3 weeks after Conor's fight. And this kept getting pushed later and later and later. And then it got kind of too late. And John Kavanagh, the coach, says to me, look, Artem, you know, there is no point for you flying over to Vegas with us because we're pretty much, our training is pretty much finished, whereas you're in the middle of your own camp. So you just stay back here and finish off your own camp because your fight is just as important. But of course, you know, I wasn't going to miss Conor's fight itself, so I flew in like last minute, and I got the only ticket I was able to get was, you know, really far away, miles away. You know, to be honest with you, after everything had happened in New York, I was kind of sure that there was going to be so much security there that nothing was going to happen. I honestly did not expect anything, you know, to happen the way it did happen. You know, I don't know. But it happened. It happened.
Do you
I wish I was closer to that, but you know.
And I'll ask you about that in a second, but do you wish that your fight, and I'm wondering if you had any say in this, your fight against Ubaira, that it was on the same night, on the same card, kind of like when you fought Chris Avila back at, you know, a couple years ago when Conor fought Nate Diaz in August of 2016. Do you wish it was on the same card, or did you like the fact that it was on a separate card?
I did and I didn't, because, you know, obviously it would have been good to fight on the same night, but the one good thing that we kind of realized was better for me to fight later on is that all the attention was on Conor for this fight, and then as soon as he gets his fight out of the way, then I have 3 weeks and the whole team and full attention on just me, and then get ready for my fight. So it made sense in that sense.
Okay. Where were you during the fight itself?
Yeah, I was all the way up. You know yourself, tickets are like gold dust, and, you know, when I flew in last minute, I didn't really get, you know, tickets that close, and I was far away. But like I said, I honestly did not think that, you know, I was sure that there was going to be so much security there. I mean, they knew what happened in Brooklyn. I mean, how much more serious do they need this to get for them to sort out for security? I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, come on now.
So you were actually sitting amongst the fans?
No, well, not really the fans. I was upstairs in the, what do you call that area upstairs where, you know, like all the way up. I'm not sure what you call that area. It's kind of like little...
Like the suites?
I don't know.
It was blocked off from people, though.
Yeah. No, but there was, we had our own kind of private area, and there was just,
okay,
you know, other, you know, Paradigm employees or, you know, team or staff members. You know, George Lockhart was there with me and some of the other, you know, people.
And why couldn't you be in the locker room in the back?
Well, because, you know, there's a limited amount of people that corner him. So obviously, you know, people that were warming him up and people that were, you know, going to do that, that's where the people that were in the back. You know yourself, they limit the number of people in the back. So, of course, Sergey, he was the wrestling coach. Well, were you going to take him out of the,
sure,
of the locker? No, we're going to take out John Kavanagh. We're going to take out Owen Roddy. You know, Dylan Dynes was used for warm-up. We're going to take him out. You know, of course not. Those are the guys that were needed there for the warm-up. And to me, it's never priority about me or what I want to do. I want to do what's the best for this fight. I want him to have the best warm-up. I want him to have, you know, the best coaches there available. So those are the people that were there in the back.
So as you're all the way up there, you're watching the fight, what do you see? Are you thinking Conor's doing well? What are you thinking about the fight itself and how it's playing out?
Yeah, I mean, at the start, I see him obviously get taken down, but I thought he was, you know, doing well to kind of defend, stay safe. Then I saw him come back in third round. I was like, right, this is it. This is the moment when he, you know, he started landing some good shots. He was stuffing all of Khabib's takedowns. And I thought, okay, this is really looking good now. And, of course, then, you know, the fight ended the way it ended, and...
Do you think if they fight again? Do you think if they fight again, it goes differently?
I would like them to. I think I would like to see them fight again. I mean, how can you not do it again? You know, I think it grants a rematch. You know, Conor showed a lot of good things in the fight, and I would like to see the rematch for sure. You know, we would take a different approach to preparation, and I think with the right approach and the mistakes fixed, we can get this one back.
What are you thinking as you see Khabib jump over the cage? All hell breaks loose. There's a fight. There's a brawl. Connor's getting punched, and you're all the way up there, and you can't help your friend. What is going through your mind?
Yes, I'm angry and I'm sure, but you know what? Like, there was no way of me, you know, getting. And there was even some team members that were closer. You know, they were like kind of low down, but even they weren't close enough to get there. You know, there's. I mean, it seems like there was security everywhere but the fucking cage. Mm. You know what I mean? Just by the cage itself, where it's needed the most, there was no security. But it seems everywhere else, the security was on point.
Do you feel like Khabib should be seriously punished for what he did?
Look, you know, for this one, I agree with John when he was, you know, talking about that. You know, whatever, you know, emotions were high, and whatever happened. But the one thing that I did not like is was the fact that after all this happened, Zubair Ra sat down in front of his phone and recorded the video bragging about punching a guy that had just gone four rounds, had just fought, bragging him from the side or whatever when he wasn't looking, and didn't even really get him, to be honest, bragging about that. Do you think that's an honorable thing to do? I mean, what do you think? Is that an honorable thing to sit down and brag about, you know, hitting someone from behind? Not like, you know, you fought him one-on-one. Fair enough, even then I could understand him doing that. But the way it happened and brag about that, that's not an honorable thing to do. That's not a nice thing to do. And they must be good for that.
And so the UFC then cancels your fight because of his involvement with Zubair Ra that's supposed to happen this weekend in Moncton. What was the reason that they told you for why they canceled it?
Well, obviously, because, you know, he was in the cage and he tried to attack Conor, and that was the reason. But to me, I don't want them to get rid of him. I want that fight. I want that fight with Zubair Ra. That's the only fight on my mind. I'm only doing this because I was already, camp was pretty much finished, you know, I was ready to go, and I haven't fought in a year. So of course, you know, for many reasons, and financial reason not being the last one of them, you know, I had to take this fight, so I'm doing this fight. But, you know, make no mistake about it, I want Zubair Ra.
Did you try to convince the UFC to keep him around for this fight? And if so, what did they say?
I was just waiting, and here, you know, I knew there's no point, you know, they were making their own decision. I put out one tweet, you know, to try and keep him in there, but, you know, I, to be honest, I kind of, in my head, I was like, even if they decide to keep him in it, there's going to be an investigation, and there probably will not be enough time to do this. So I thought, okay, I have to do this fight with whoever they give me, but I will get him after that.
So is it fair to say, Artem, that your future in the UFC almost depends on Zubaira's future, in the sense that if they cut him, you want to be cut so that you can fight him elsewhere, but if they keep him, win or lose, absolutely, on Saturday, you want to fight him next? Is it almost fair to say it that way?
Yeah, it is fair to say it that way. If they cut him, then I want to be gone as well. I will fight him in ACB or, I don't know, any other league, Bellator, whatever league wants to do it. But, you know, I will get him. And the reason it has to be done inside the octagon, because I want to look this man in the eyes one-on-one. When it's inside that octagon, it's one versus one. Your skill versus his skill. You know, your heart versus his heart. I want to test his heart in that octagon. I want to see what he's got.
Prior to what happened in the cage at 229, what's your issue with Zubair Ra? Like, where does this stem from?
Well, because, I mean, he was there as well with Khabib when they attacked him. He was screaming in my face, well, oh, what's this and that with 15 other guys, you know what I mean? None of them ever said anything to me one-on-one, but when there's 15 of them, they're suddenly brave.
Okay. Did you get to see Conor after the fight?
Obviously, you know,
go ahead.
You know, of course I would like to fight Khabib, but I have to, you know, be realistic with where I am, you know, and where he is. You know, I realize that fight, you know, would not happen. So, you know, I have to settle for the next best thing, which is Zubair Ra.
Were you able to see Conor after the fight? Did you get to see him in the locker room or back at his home?
No, I was just exchanging messages with him. I was talking to him. You know, I don't really like to be disturbed. You know, if I lost a fight or whatever, I like to be left alone. And I kind of, you know, try not to be in the person's face as well, you know, in the same situation, because I know how it feels. I know how I feel in that situation. So, you know, I don't really try to be in their face too much. I just give them a bit of space. I know when the time comes, you know, everything will be fine. And I have since, you know, since then we have been talking a lot about everything and, yeah, and I'm discussing what the future holds and just that and the other.
How is he handling everything?
Connor is a true champion, you know what I mean? He is humble in victory or defeat.
Will he be joining you in Moncton?
I know Connor is very, very busy with all the media obligations now, so I'm not 100% sure just yet, but I know if he's able to do it, if at least it allows it, he will always be there. But regardless if he's there or not, you know, he's always there with me. He's always in my heart, always.
When you were booked against Michael Johnson, a lot of people were thinking like, oh, they're trying to give you an even tougher fight to get rid of you. What was your reaction?
They offered me a few fights, but as always, I took the hardest one.
Well, really? You picked Michael Johnson. They actually gave you a choice.
Absolutely.
Wow.
They gave me a choice, and I picked Michael Johnson.
Okay. And any particular reason?
Yeah, there's many reasons. To me, you know, like I said, I always want to challenge myself. I want the toughest fight. That's why I came to the UFC, and that doesn't change. And, of course, you know, given the fact I lost my last fight to Philly, and he won his last fight against Philly. So, you know, he is the only guy to have a win over, you know, Tony Ferguson in the UFC. You know, he has fought some great names, Barboza. You know, he is one of the guys that did did damage against Khabib as well. So, you know, there are many reasons to fight him. It's a very good fight for me in terms of how tough it is and where that puts me when I get that win.
I think there's going to be a ton of eyeballs. I think your fight is going to be talked about more than the actual main event on Saturday. Do you feel more pressure than usual to sort of get the team back on track, to get this big W so that, you know, everyone lays off for a little bit? Do you feel that at all?
I absolutely know it's a must win for us. We need this win, but I don't feel the pressure. No, I am so motivated. I'm absolutely fired up. To me, this is one step closer to getting Zubaira back. So I'm definitely making that step.
Wow.
So coming in all guns blazing.
Wow. So he is fueling everything that you're doing right now. That is the man you're thinking about.
Absolutely. There is nothing else on my mind. I won that fight and nothing else. That's the only thing I can think of. I'm not going to rest. I'm not going to sleep until I get him back.
Is that dangerous, though? You do have a good fighter standing in front of you on Saturday. Is it dangerous to not be thinking about him 100%?
Oh, don't worry. I am well prepared for him.
Okay.
I am thinking about that win, but I just know that this win, that's what gets me to the virus. So that just gets me extra fuel. You know, you can let that fire, you know, burn you, or you can let it fuel you. And that fire is fueling me right now.
What do you say to Khabib, who has been saying before the fight and after the fight that the UFC may have concocted the whole Brooklyn bus thing, that they have may have sort of led to it happening? Is there any truth to that the UFC helped this happen?
No, but seriously, come on now, Aaron. Let's be honest. What's that? That's just crazy talk. I mean, what I've been talking about? Right? Look at what's been happening. Do you honestly think I would put myself through all that shit for what? Like for some promotion, some shit? What kind of promotion is that even? That is just the craziest thing I've ever heard. I don't know what he's talking about there.
Is there a part of you that hopes that all this just goes away? Like, has it become exhausting, or does it only go away once you get to fight that man?
No. I want to fight them. No, I don't want this to go away. I want to settle this in that cage.
Okay. And also, just curious, like right now after this fight, is it Zubaira or Buzz? Like, will you tell the UFC if you're not giving me Zubaira, I want out?
No, I didn't say anything. I have to. I know that once I beat Michael Johnson, I know I will be able to demand, you know, a lot more things. When you get the wins, you know, you're able to, you know, ask for different things. You can ask for who you want to fight. And, you know, when I got the two wins that time, you know, and when I got the win against Ishihara, I asked for Cub Swanson and I got it. So I'm hoping that it is the same case here.
How has it been in the aftermath towards you? Like, have a lot of people come at you online like, oh, we beat your guy's... You know, he's chicken, whatever, like they're trying to, you know, celebrate in your face. What has it been like in the aftermath of 229?
Well, of course, it's always like, and I always a little bit feel disappointed, you know, about a lot of the Khabib fans, you know, in the same message or in the same comment, you know, they talk about God and, you know, religion, and then they use swear words and they slay people. I don't think that's appropriate behavior. I'm not sure that that's how devoted the Muslims behave themselves.
We've said a lot, we've covered a lot, and I really can't thank you enough, Artem. It truly means a lot that you would speak to us. Is there anything that you feel like you wanted to touch on that we didn't discuss here?
No, I think this is it. No, I think we spoke about everything that needed to be spoken about.
And in summation,
no more talking. Now it's time to start doing.
Yeah, and are you? What are you going to do the rest of the week in Moncton? Because I'm assuming a lot of people are going to be asking you about this.
I'm going to tell them to watch your show.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. That gets us a little more traffic. In summation, though, this isn't over. If people think that this is over, October, or if this ended October 6th in Las Vegas, this is not over. It is not ending until you get Zubaira. And I guess
from over. This is not from over.
All right. We will leave it at that. Artem, I appreciate it very much, my friend. Safe travels to Moncton. Thank you so much for doing this. And, of course, good luck on Saturday night against Michael Johnson.
Thank you very much, Ariel. Thank you.
All right, there he is, Artem Lobov. Spirited, emotional at times, fired up. And there was a part of me that thought, maybe this will end. Maybe this has been exhausting for everyone. Maybe everyone just wants to move on. Nope. You heard it there from Artem. This isn't over. He wants Zubaira, whether he wins or loses, and that's all he's thinking about. And this is fascinating stuff playing out. If you thought this was over, the next step, of course, is October 24th, Wednesday, NAC hearing. Then Artem fights on Saturday, and something tells me this fight isn't going away, or this feud, this rivalry that doesn't just involve Conor and Khabib. It involves many more people from both sides. If you thought this was over on October 6th, you are sorely mistaken. Stay tuned.